Oh, she's not here. Where'd she go? Oh, okay. We want to thank God for our teams, right? They did great, right? That's the future of FBC Preston. So you're going to be seeing them here all the time so they can kind of grow. You know, the funny thing yesterday, I was talking to one of them and he said, we're going to be singing tomorrow? How are you going to feel like? I said, you're going to feel like just praising God. So we just want to thank God, you know, for that bold step. Our young team, I continue to pray for them, that God will use them in different areas, that they will grow. Amen? All right, Chris, you're going to be my clicker for now because I, you know, so many things going on, I left my clicker. But it's in the office somewhere around there. I don't know. But however, I want to thank God for bringing us back this morning. And we started on stewardship, right? We talked a whole lot of stewardship. But today we want to close on, even though we heard about it, but are we going to make the change? The change of doing what we heard is important, all right? So let us look to the Lord in prayer as we turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians, our beautifully read by our brother Greg. And while you turn it, let us turn to the Lord in prayer and just ask God to just lead us as we go through his word. Eternal Father, we thank you. For you are great and you are mighty. Lord, as I come to speak, you speak your word, not me. And just fill my heart, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you utter every word that I speak. And let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which you've been sent. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about stewardship. Chris, help me to the next slide. Stewardship, our study of stewardship has, good to have good deacons. Thank you, deacon. They always have our backs. Our study of stewardship have challenged many existing lifestyles in so many ways, right? But can I really change? With all that we heard about stewardship, can I really change? But let's listen to God's word and see why his word has to save for us. For our eternal truth, it says, God saves us as we are, but he does not intend to leave us that way. His word and the Holy Spirit change us from the inside as we cooperate and yield our will to him as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen? So, we've been talking about stewardship. We want to look at, go back and have some reflection on stewardship. We want to go back and just briefly look at the definition and then describe the different areas in stewardship. There are a whole lot, right? Some at best, we didn't even, you know, some, when we were preparing the series, Pastor Gary and I, then, as we go, and something popped out, we said, oh, we can talk of this, right? But we never knew all of these things, but God's word is so powerful, so unique, that it kind of revealed things to us that we ought to know, we ought to learn. And there are a couple of things that we want to look at when it comes to stewardship. And how does that kind of affect and change our life, change our way of behaving, change our approach as believers? Now, we are speaking on the idea of believers. We're speaking to believers, and God has entrusted all us of with great, unique, and blessings that he gave to us we don't own. Right? Even the house you got, you ain't own it. You still paying mortgage on it. Right? When you default, what happened? They take it away from you. Right? Even the car, when you bought a brand new car, you don't own it yet. Right? So everything, if the manufacturer own our car, you ain't own it, then why you think about God? So let us quickly look into the the different aspects. First, want to look at stewardship. What does it mean in defining stewardship? As Pastor Gary spoke on it, and I took a couple of his words and kind of injected it in there because he spoke on stewardship on this particular aspect. So, and he says that from the Old Testament, there's a Greek Hebrew word called Asha Abayat, and which means steward, translated in the book of Genesis 43, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 9. Genesis referenced who? Joseph. You remember Joseph was the young man, and he was given authority in Potiphar's house, right? And Joseph was accountable to Potiphar. He wasn't the owner of Potiphar's house. He knew his responsibility as steward in the house of Potiphar. He didn't have control over Potiphar's wife, right? Even though she tempted him to bring him down and she lied on him, but Joseph was one good steward of the house of Potiphar. And even in Egypt, when he was taken out of prison, he was given authority over the land of Egypt. He was a good steward. And not only that, if we go back in the book of Genesis, Adam was a steward. God gave him responsibility. God created everything and put him over everything of the earth. He said, you have dominion over everything of this earth, all that I created. So stewardship didn't just start today. It started in the Garden of Eden. Amen? One charge with oversight of household operation is basically, we call it stewardship. In the New Testament, there's a word called eptopros. It says, it's the first two primary Greek terms translated as steward, right? In Matthew and in Luke, Matthew references to Lord who speaks to his steward. And the next word is the second word, the Greek word is called oikonomos. It deals with the pricing, tax, or place of stewardship. The word first appears in Luke chapter 12, which refers to faithful and wise steward. So even if we want to do a pop quiz right now, if I should ask the question, what is stewardship? I know everybody here will raise their hands. If not, I'm going to tell Pastor Gary we're going to do stewardship over. Amen. Help me, Chris. Let's go to the next slide. So we want to come. We talk about definition of stewardship. We know what stewardship is. So in a layman term, stewardship is giving you what? Authority over something that you do not own, and you have to get a account over that which you have been given. Right? So we describe different areas of stewardship. We talk about time. Many of us think we got time in our favor. But no, you can rewind your watch, but guess what? The time's still going. It never stops. Tell me that, Digger. That's the only one watch you cannot rewind. You cannot stop, and that's God's time. That's God's watch. It keeps on moving. It keeps on going. And so God has given us the opportunity to make use of time. But many a times, we don't make use of the time. We try to cover up for the time that we miss. And you cannot cover up for the time that you miss. Sometimes you say, oh, if I had known. Right? We all have come to that point and say, oh, if I had known, I would have done X, Y, Z, and what have you. But God gave it to us. It's not ours because it's going to go away. We talk about serial time. We talk about talents and gifts. Many of us, how can our talent and gift be a blessing to the church, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our Christian brothers? God gave us gifts and talent that can be a blessing to his house. You may be a great inspirational speaker or encouragement to somebody whose heart is broken. That's a blessing because just by talking to that person, you don't know what God can do. That person can say, oh, you know what? Thank you for what you just said. It kind of helped me. In different areas, God has given us gifts. God has given us talent. But sometimes we sit on our talent. We sit on our gifts and say, oh, Rosemary is doing it, so I don't have to. Oh, Deacon Dennis is doing it, so I don't. Oh, Jonathan is doing it. Oh, Greg is doing it. I don't have to do it. No. Tell me. Everyone has to get involved. You see, the body, you have the arm, the legs, the head. If the legs say, I'm not moving, you think the body going to move? No. So everyone gets involved and be a good steward and provide all the gifts and talent that God has given each of us. We talk about our heart, being stewards of our heart, our soul, our spirit, and our mind. And sometimes we overlook those areas and we suppress it. And we don't grow spiritually. Our heart, we keep doing the same old thing. Our mind, our soul suppressed, and we're not moving anywhere. And sometimes we control ourselves in the wrong aspect of not how God determined for us to go. We also talk about treasure, money. And if I could ask anybody, the last illustration Pastor Gary did was sometimes he brought two buckets here, right? One big, one small, right? And being a steward of the treasure of money God has given you. And it's true because we talk about, Pastor Gary made emphasis that in the Old Testament, it talks about tithing, but in the New Testament, we're not. And it's true. Because if you look at the only person that talked about giving so much in the New Testament was Paul. And guess what? Paul was a Hebrew. He was Jewish. And he was a man of the law. He knew the law. But if Paul could not speak about tithing in the New Testament, then it means that Paul was looking at where he says that is when you give, give willingly. Abundantly, not grudgingly, but he said give, because when God gets ready to bless you, he will bless. He said he's going to bless you pressed down, right? And it's going to be shaky and running over. That's how God's going to bless you. So if you want to keep giving 10%, which you're not faithful in giving 10%, you know, you're not going to get that pressed down, shaking together, and running over in your life. And we don't own our treasure. The job, we wake up every morning, get in our car, go to work, and back, and hey, one morning you may not be able to get up. How can you go to that work? And then you say, God, help me. But whatever we have, money, our treasure, our bank account, if we are to get 10%, if you do your income tax, you're supposed to get 10%. If somebody gave you gift, you're supposed to get 10%. If someone, if you walk down the street, somebody gave you $10 coming from there for God. And I bet none of us can do that. So Paul said, don't waste your time doing that, but give from the heart. Because it's God who blesses you, and God who blesses you, he's going to what? Increase. He said, just as you give, so he will give. If you get little, hey, God will bless you with little. If you get more, God will give you, he will bless you with more. Amen? And we talk about, Pastor Gary talked about stress. We have to be still or stressed. We work out and go through so many times that we are stressed out and we don't know what to do with ourselves. Sometimes we get broken down and discouraged because why? We're not taking care of ourselves. We're not giving break to ourselves. We say workaholic, right? We work so hard. And it's not bad to work. It's good to work. When I was a direct care working with healthcare, a co-worker of mine said, I'm not going to kill myself. I said, for money. He said, why? Because he said, if I die, I'm going to leave every penny here. So I'm going to have fun with my life. I'm not going to run after money because tell me, all the millionaires, they still running after money. So I'm not a millionaire. I don't have enough. So why should I keep chasing after money and forget about what I'm supposed to be doing, all the stuff and what have you? I sleep in thinking about money. I wake up thinking about money. No, I'm not going to do that. Guess what? And that's just exactly what the devil wants. Put our mind on money is good, but when our mind is focused on it than the one who provides it, then we lose track of it. Amen? And lastly, we talk about stewarding our family. We talked last Sunday about family, how we as parents, we have been given charge over our family. And it's our responsibility to make sure our family is provided for, taken care of, and in check, both on the physical, on what? The spiritual aspect. We are not only to just provide for everything that they need, but we also provide for their spiritual growth, their spiritual need, so that they will also grow tomorrow. They will also pass on to their children. Amen? So we heard all of that. Are we changed? Oh, nobody can answer me any questions. You know what? I think we're going to pray and call this sermon show. We'll start the whole, stewardship over. I'll tell Pastor Gary. But in everything we do, we can remain the same as child of God. There must be change. And how can we determine that change? Paul kind of gave us an example of how to carry on with that change. First, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the plan, God's plan for change. The old work and the new work. The old work is when you were not faithful in paying your tithes. You are not, faithful in giving your offering. You're not faithful with your stewardship of talent. You're not coming to service, providing the gifts that God has given you to share and help the body of Christ to grow. You're not taking care of your body. You're not taking care of your family. Hey, you are walking the old walk. But we want you to change and walk a new walk to the talent that God has given you. Come and find a place in the church and utilize that talent. The gift that God has given you, come and say, Pastor, what can I do? I think I can do this. What, help me. Hey, none of us are born with knowing how to do things. But through learning, we all learn together as believers, and we grow in order to serve God the best way God wants us to serve Him. Amen? So, Chris, help me. Let's go to the next slide. Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, this I said, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentile walk, in the futility of the mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work or uncleanness with greediness. Paul is addressing the believers, right? And I want us to look at this. We are talking about stewardship. God is the owner of everything, our money, our family, our body, our life, our soul, our mind. God is the owner of everything because Psalm 124 says, the earth is the Lord and what? The fullness thereof. So everything that exists on the earth, God owns it. Even ourselves, God owns us. So if God owns us, we ought to be a good steward of who He wants us to be. But Paul said we're going the wrong way. We kept on doing the same thing. Our life is still the same. We're not growing. There is no change. Even though we've been taught, we heard, and Paul was referring to the believers in the church of Ephesus, you are still walking the old way. Even though you have heard it, you're still going on to the past life and keep on doing the same old thing. That shouldn't be us. We have heard the word. How can we be a good steward of the talent that God has given us? How can I be a good steward of the gift that God has? How can I be a good steward of the body that God has given me? I have to change if I am not doing exactly what God wants me to do. And in verse 20, they say, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We need to step aside and say, oh, my life isn't mine, it's God's. So I'm going to honor him with my life. I'm going to serve him with everything he has given me. I'm not going to allow anything to slow me down. But I'm going to be on fire for him just as he wants me to do. In my talent, in my gifts, in my treasure, and my in his treasure, in his gift, in his life, and everything that he's given because I own nothing. And look what Paul says. Chris helped me in first. He talks about the new work. We got a business meeting coming also. Right? But as the Holy Spirit leads, we shall go. Paul says, even though I'm walking on the old track, as the new man, we should walk new way. Now, I'll say some of you should be walking like this and that. No, that's not a new way. Amen? But what is he saying? In Ephesians chapter 4, 23 to 24, he said, and be renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to who? God. In true righteousness and holiness. If I have not been using my gift for God, I was the old man. But as a new man, I'm not using my talent, my gift for God. As a new man, my mind is now renewed in Christ. I'm using the opportunity to glorify God in all that he has blessed me with. Because I now know that I own nothing. I created nothing. I'm not the originator of anything. He is. And because I'm new in him, I have to do everything according to his will and according to his purpose. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. And you may say, I'm not a Jesus Christ. But guess what? God says in his word, he said, there is nothing that he cannot give you that he knows that you cannot bear. No circumstances, nothing that you go through, God knows that you cannot bear. Everything that comes your way, God knows that you are capable. But sometimes we look at a situation and forget about the one who can find a way out for us. Amen? Well, Peter is saying that, arm yourself also the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Verse 3 says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentile. We spend our life doing the will of the Gentile, our own way, our own thinking, our own desire, our own heart. But now it's time to think the will of God as a church. Amen? And he said, for we have been, and he said, when we walk in lewdness, lust, darkness, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The old man doesn't partake in any of those things anymore. So at the end of this message, we're going to see great change in our church. Amen. Thank you for the amen, if you that say amen. Amen. Chris, help me. Let's go to the next slide. So we talk about God's plan for change. But I look at God's purpose for change. Look at a big concept of replacement and look at a big concept of apply. Now, we may read a scripture, read the Bible, but if we don't apply it, it's a waste, right? It's like you go into school, the teacher teach you everything, and time for test, you can pass the test. So it's a waste sitting under the instructor and because you're not paying attention, you're not learning anything, right? It's the same with God's word. As we read it, we should be able to apply it daily into our daily lives. Help me, Chris. Let's go. Next slide. Said the big concept of replacement. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Paul says that, said, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So what is Paul talking about here? The truth that will set us, that will allow us to make that great decision, that wise decision, according to God's word, can only be found where? In Christ. So, whatever that have been controlling us to not fulfill or not being a good steward, the best replacement that we can find is in Jesus. Because when we are in him and he in us, we will do exactly, we will be faithful and honor his word and do exactly what God requires of us. You know, in our staff, the new Pastor Gary and I were talking, and said, even you can talk about everything, where does it start from? Your heart. Thank you. It starts from your heart. Because if it is not in your heart to honor God, guess what? You will not honor him. If it is not in your heart to be faithful to God as to use your talent, guess what? You will not use it. If it's not in your heart to be a cheerful giver, guess what? You will know all the bills in your pocket by just filling it in. When time for offering, you take it and put it in the basket. You know all the bills in your purse. You got to look there. If you look there, maybe someone will see you. Yeah, take a wrap your hand. But guess what? Who sees you? God. It's the heart that it has to start with. Because if your heart is with God, guess what? We don't have to say it over and over and over and over again. We don't have to say, oh, we need help with this in the church. We don't have to cry. Because why? You will come and say, what can I do? I want to serve God. Because it's from the heart. Amen? So Paul says, verse 22, he said, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful laws, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So now we have to be renewed, our heart to be in connection with God, in according to his will, in according to his purpose, his plans for our church, for our life, and our ministry. That's why we need to replace. And allow God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us as we grow daily as good stewards. And he said, and be renewed. And not only that, he said, put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what God desires of us. Help us, Chris. And the big concept is we heard it, but now we have to apply it. And look what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He said, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak with truth. Speak truth with his neighbor, for we are what? Members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Is that easy? Nope. Sometimes the unbelievers are going to come up in you. The old man going to come up in you. And he said, you know who I am, right? Don't think because I got on the coast, so I can show you why God in my... No. Paul said, be angry, but don't sin. Right? He said, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Not give place to the devil. The Bible says, the enemy is like a what? Roaring lion. And he just seeking whom he may what? Devour. That's all Satan's tricks. He just looking for that opportunity in your life, in my life, in our church. Just that little thing he looks for. And when he finds it, he says, oh, I'm going to use that to bring you down, to destroy your relationship, to destroy your home, to destroy your life. That's all. But Jesus, Paul said, do not let the sun go down, not give place to the devil. Let him who still what? Still no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may be, that he may have something to give him who has need. And verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So that's the application of it. Boys, as we look at a big concept about stewardship, we learn everything. We have to apply it. If I was this person before, and now I've heard, I have to apply it to my life. I have to be a very good steward of God, his possession that he has entrusted to me. It's not mine. I have to apply. I have to live it daily. Because if I don't, I'll be a bad steward. And just like the parable of the talents, when the master came and he called them, and the one who refused to invest in the master talent that he gave him, he said, you're going to be cast away. But we don't want to. We want to have that fellowship say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and sit and enjoy life with me. Amen? So in verse 31, he said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what we need to do as good stewards. Because God is looking down on us. And he going to ask us, what did you do with all that I gave you? Your talent, your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit. What did you do? Amen. Help us, Chris. Let's go there. God's pattern for change. And if we look at a pattern for change, it starts with who? The best person we can copy is what? Jesus. We should be imitator of him. We should be imitator of him. Pure as he is pure. Holy as he is holy. And you may say, oh, but I say I can't be holy. But God says in the word, he said, what? Be you what? Holy, for I am the Lord. Why? Your God is what? Holy. So he said, righteousness, because he is righteous. Loving as he is loving, forgiving as he is forgiving. And also, if we change, we should have that Christian stability in us. Amen. We can't be all over the place. Amen. As believers. We can't be all over the place. Amen. We have to have that stability in our Christian life, and there should be Christian growth. Amen. Not just hearing it, and then it comes up. Peter says, like a man who looks into the mirror and see himself and forget how he looks and walk out. Amen? Chris, let's go. Imitate Christ. The pattern for change to be good steward, we ought to imitate Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to 22, he says, therefore be imitator of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God, Christ, is our best imitator. That's why Paul said, follow me as our Father Christ. And if we want to be good stewards, we have to be like Christ. Imitate him, follow him, and walk in love. Walk as he has given himself. In verse 4, 3, he said, but fornication and uncleanness and all covetousness, let not even be named among you as a fitting for us sins. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not what? Be a partaker with them. So, as good steward, I'm going to say that again, the best person we can follow, we can imitate is what? Christ. He's the best person we can imitate. He's the best person we can follow because he has the greater plan than any other person. Because he lived it. He lived on earth. He fought. And we read about it. We learn about his life. That he gave himself. Are we willing to give ourselves for the glory of God? Christ should be our best imitator. Help me, Chris. Let's go to the next slide. God's power for change. So we've learned about we learn about stewardship. We talk about a different type of stewardship. We talk about God's plan for change. And what are those plans? How can we carry out those plans? We talk about the process of change. How can we go about with the change? Even we have learned about stewardship. And we talk about the process for change. Now we want to look at what the power of change. The power of change, where does it come from? How can we find that power to help us move on as good stewards, as God intends for us? Chris, help me to the next slide. First of all, we look at the Word of God, which is the Scripture, the Bible. If we desire change in our life, this should be our first and foremost place we run to. Look what Paul says. He said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So what? Walk as children of light. Once upon a time, you were that old man. You lived the way you want to do. Things you desire to do, which was not according to God's will. Not being faithful steward. Not being a responsible steward. Not taking care of what God has given you. But now, you're not a new man after you have heard the messages, right? Oh, nobody answered me. Thank you. Now you are a new man. You're no longer that old person. But being a new man, in order to help you, you need the Word of God. And that's why Paul said, one thing you should understand, that you, as a new man, you are now the light. You are the light in the Lord. He said, what? Walk as children of light. He said, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by men in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you sleep, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. God's word is going to help us as we run this race. And not only the word of God, help us, Chris, the next one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Help me, Chris. Thank you. The Holy Spirit. Paul says, Galatians, he wrote to the believers in Galatians, he said, I said then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The old man wants to keep doing the same old thing over and over and over and over. Want to resist you doing the right thing. So Paul is saying it. He said, well, in order to help yourself get out, he said, walk in the Spirit. And you shall what? not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not honor the law. If you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. God, the spirit now leads you, guides you, directs your life to be a good and faithful steward of that which God has entrusted into you. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the lack of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So as a new man, you have to walk in light. Walk in that light. And also, not only in the light, but walk in according to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in what God has urged you to do. And lastly, the power of change can take place when we become a gift to others. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Like I said earlier, God may have blessed you with the gift of just ministering or just talking to someone, just being an encouragement to someone. Use that gift, because you could have be the one to transform that person's situation at that particular moment. They just need a word. Just need a word. In verse 14, 11, he says, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So are we ready to adopt this change? We have said it. God's word has said it. And as a new man, a new person, a new being, we ought to walk in the light. We ought to walk according to God's purpose, God's plan. Because that's who God wants us to be. That's why God desires us. And if we can, then we are still going with the old man. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this hour. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken your word and let your word, God, do its part. Help us, Father, to understand that as stewards, we are responsible for the gift, the talent, and everything that you have blessed us and called us to do. We honor you, and we give you the praise. For, Lord, without you, we are nothing. All that we have is yours. And help us to exhibit this change, oh God, in our walk, in our talk, in our attitude, and even as good stewards, because you called us, you've blessed us, you've given us all that we have is yours. And we say, be glorified. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.